So we were talking about how you began in Las Vegas. Now, what you had your show. Wasn't that the show you wrote, the Soulmates show?
No, the Soulmates show was done here, and then I moved to Vegas to do it there and ended up working in dueling piano bars and many other things. And then as I was putting the show together, my mother got sick in Canada.
Oh, wow.
So I sold my home and took my youngest son, because the other ones lived here. They wanted to stay, and
yeah,
they were older.
I don't blame them.
And so I ended up back in Canada, and then I got a call from this agent, and I said, well, you know, my mother's in a home right now, so I can go for a short period of time. Let me try it out. And sure enough, and I loved it.
Now, which was that on?
That was the Japanese, and that's when I went to places like Kamakura, or you take
oh,
that,
yeah.
and Kobe, and we based out of Yokohama, but we would go all the way down the coast through Korea, through land in Shanghai. This was after Christmas, we would do that, and then go down to Saipan and Guam.
Well, wasn't it cold at that time of year?
Oh, no. We had snow when we got back.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, the flakes coming down in Yokohama, but further south, we went to Guam for and Saipan.
Guam,
oh, Saipan is like Maui, I think, back years and years ago. It's so beautiful.
Really?
Really stunning, yeah.
So that was a fairly long cruise.
Yeah, they do a 30-day. That was a 30-day.
Wow.
And then up the Mariani Trench. That was when the piano would lift right up.
Where's the Mariani Trench?
It's kind of between the Philippines, where the Philippines are, and it's one of the deepest trenches of the Pacific.
I didn't know that.
And it's a smaller ship. It's only, we only had about 250 crew. The last ship I just did, the Norwegian Epic, we have 1,250 crew.
Wow.
On it. So
how many people on board?
About 7,000 altogether.
Not.
Yeah.
Oh, I could.
I did the dueling pianos with the Howl at the Moon, and we have a cavern for a Beatle band, full-time Beatle band. Then there's the piano bar, which I played up there before the last time I was on the Epic. We have a Cirque show. We have Priscilla, Queen of the Desert theater show that plays in a full theater.
Oh,
and comedians brought in regularly, hilarious. And, I mean, there's so much to do, plus the casinos.
Yeah.
It's freestyle, which means you eat when you want, with whoever you want, and dress how you want.
But
which
it must be a huge amount of restaurants as well.
Oh,
when you have that many people.
Oh, yeah, sure, it is. And people are eating all the time.
I bet.
Yes, it's so much fun, though.
I can't imagine that. I've never been on a cruise. The biggest cruise, let's see, I think it was 2000. No, maybe 20. Maybe the big celebrity, or the larger celebrity, was maybe almost 3,000.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would be three times that almost. You know, it's huge.
And fun. And what amazed me was we did the transatlantic crossing. On the big one. We came back. We went out of Barcelona and went around once.
You were there right before me, I think.
Well, I had been on the Spirit earlier that summer, Norwegian Spirit, and we did Malta a lot. We did up to Venice and Dubrovnik and then around. And in fact, two of my girlfriends from Maui came on. Barbara Hanger, the designer, interior designer, and Kat Petty, who is she's the real estate agent. They joined me. They surprised me.
Where did they jump on board?
They came in Civita Vecchia, Rome.
Oh, yeah,
we
yeah,
We were
yeah.
doing that uh-huh. one. So we had a lot of fun.
And that was how long a cruise?
That was, I think that was like a 14-day.
Yeah.
14-day, a lot of
And that was how many people? How big a cruise?
That was
the big one.
That was the smaller one. About 2,000, 2,500 maybe.
And that was Norwegian?
That was Norwegian Spirit, which is one of the older ships with the big, so the piano would be playing, and then behind me was the big atrium.
Oh.
With the glass elevators that go through. Very, very posh, very elegant, elegant
nice.
Stuff. No, the newer ones are more for the pop culture.
Yeah.
And really fun. You got to come. Do you know, I just saw advertised the one that I'm doing next, which is from Miami across the ocean to the UK, Ireland, England, Scotland, then Norwegian fjords, Iceland. A whole new thing.
Mm,
the crossing itself, $499.
Well, yeah, but see, I like that. I mean, you have to really just be wanting to have your me time and relaxing time and eating and
party time. That's party
is that
time
what
to
it
tell
is?
You the
okay,
truth.
Okay, that's
yes,
why
what
some
get.
People like that.
Yes.
I like getting out there and seeing places and seeing countries. So I've never done a transatlantic crossing.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Quite fun.
But I would like to do the one that goes, and I haven't done the cruise that does Ireland and Scotland and England. Although I've been to Scotland, England, and Ireland as an independent traveler, I lived in England for about 3 months one time.
Wow.
Years and years and years ago. But I would be interested in seeing that one that goes there. And then it also goes to where else? You said
the Norwegian fjords out of Hamburg.
Nice.
As one of the itineraries up past the glaciers, past the Arctic Circle.
Wow.
Ending up in Iceland.
So you're going to be on that one?
I'm going to do that for 4 months.
Wow.
With different itinerary pieces, 10 to 14-day itinerary pieces.
More and more people are liking those, going up to Iceland around there.
I've been hearing that. That's why I asked the agent for it. I said, you know, I've done the Mediterranean for you. I don't want to sound terrible, but, you know, I know Naples better than I know my hometown. So it's, could I try something different? And he said, would you like to try this? And I said, absolutely.
So is there a special agent that books musicians on these cruises?
There are a few of them, yes. I work with probably the top one out of Miami, and he's wonderful.
How'd you find him?
Let me see. I broke my leg one time before I was going on my Japanese cruise ship, and I wanted to come to Hawaii. So I called up I called Norwegian because I knew they had Pride of America, and I asked him if... was the head guy, and he hooked me up to the agent. And the next time I went down to Miami, I was doing a show down there, or that area. I called him up and went to visit him, and he gave me an audition. He said, oh, my gosh, yes. So that's simple.
You actually did an audition in person?
Yeah.
I didn't know that even happened.
Do you know the best way to get any kind of job is to go in person?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially if you're dealing with the Japanese, they want to see you face to face.
Really?
They want to know that if they ask you a question, you don't jump in and interfere. You'll stay silent for a minute while they figure it out. You know, the things like that. They want to see the quality of the human beings they're working with. And it makes sense, doesn't it?
You know, I never knew that, but I mean, I wouldn't have, I don't think most people would know that.
Well, I think in the music business in particular, they have to know, first of all, you're reliable.
Yeah.
And if you're going to take the time and the money and the energy to actually go and visit these agents in person, other than just be another, you know, website that they're looking at, you're sitting across the table, and I invite them to lunch.
Wow.
And I want to see, first of all, who I'm dealing with, too.
That's a good point.
Because if they're going to book me on something that's going to take up 3 months of my life, I have to know that they're reliable.
So you're working every night when you're on the cruise ship?
Dueling pianos, I work 4 nights a week. And there were three of us would tap each other out on the piano. Sometimes I'd jump on the drums. It was hilarious. Packed rooms, 250 people a night.
Oh, it's so one of the concert performances and things.
It's dueling pianos is absolutely craziness. My years with Second City really paid off because.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, and I had done dueling in Las Vegas also. No, it's requests, it's craziness, it's put on costumes, it's total.
Oh, I didn't know
improv
that.
The whole night, but you got to know a million songs, you know, to do it.
Okay, so people are actually shouting out songs.
Shouting it and sending them up, and you start doing Bohemian Rhapsody, and you know, and the whole audience. Then you stop singing, and the whole audience sings.
Oh my!
And they send up tips, and they send. Oh, it's
oh,
just
wow.
Like, now when I do the solo piano on this next ship, I have a stage, and it's in the Martini Bar. And, people come and I do.
So they go there before and after the dinners?
They go whenever, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll do evenings, say, from 8 till 12.
And do you interact on those, or you just
always
play the piano?
Always. Oh, that's my thing.
Yeah.
My thing is, once the people are in the room, they become my cousins, and we are going to have a good time.
So you definitely have to be a people person.
Yes, so what I do is I give everybody one of these on my each table.
Oh, my gosh, she's showing me here.
Has a song list.
A song list is huge.
With this on the back so that it gets the energy going. They can talk to each other about things. Because sometimes people sit there, they don't really know. And I give them each chopsticks, which I get them. They won't all sing. But the Dalai Lama said to me once, if you want to put new information into people, first you must move their molecules. So I thought, how interesting. They won't all sing, but they will all tap a glass like kids. I watched kids at a breakfast table doing it. I went, that's the trick. And they love it.
When did you meet His Holiness?
It was, oh my gosh, I had already been in Maui. My girlfriend got me the tickets to go see him in Toronto. I think it was maybe 1993, perhaps.
I saw him here.
Lucky you.
But in a couple of three different circumstances, but I didn't actually get a face-to-face.
Yeah.
Close, you know. I mean,
well, this wasn't a face-to-face. This was a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
A few people there, and he said that, made that comment, and I just took it.
So on this list you've got 2000s, 60s, Beatles, 70s, 90s, country, nostalgia, and you even have an Hawaiian list here.
Yes, I do. And I've had some beautiful Hawaiian people on the ship show up. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
They like to hear which one.
They loved they like that. But they love when I played them Haole Wahine, they roared. The song that
really?
I wrote about being a Haole Wahine in Hawaii.
Hawaiian wedding song, of course.
Yeah, they dance to that. And they will hula if I do Blue Hawaii.
Really?
They'll get up and they'll hula. And it's just so beautiful. Everyone loves it.
Well, that's quite a large amount of songs you can play. How many are on here? But over 1,000?
No, probably about 350.
That's a lot of songs to know. I'm impressed. So
it's my job.
So you get nights off, though, some nights
off, yes.
Right?
And I get to go on any excursion I want.
Oh, well, that's good. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. And
I was wondering about that.
No, I get off all the time. In fact, I'm kind of the joke on the ship because most of the security are Nepalese people, and they're just lovely on the security. And if we're at sea, they'll say, oh, Patricia's off. Because I do get off all the time.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to waste a day anywhere we go. And, for example, if you're in Rome, you take a trip from Civita Vecchia, you grab the train.
It takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours?
No, 1 hour.
1 hour,
an hour to St. Peter's.
Yeah.
But my cousins live there, so I'll go with them and they'll take me to new places. Or, you know, you just don't waste time or you find something. But it's a lovely way then to come back to Maui after.
I know, it's wonderful. And you have a large Ohana family of friends here, I know.
I do.
And you have your family of friends in Canada.
And in Las Vegas.
And
I want to say hi to my friends in Las Vegas. Darlene, if you're listening, and Citi and all the wonderful people from the Hampton Post.
So this transatlantic crossing, you actually gave me a laminated brochure. Kind of not a brochure, it's a schedule.
This gives out when you buy pictures on the cruise. Mm-hmm. You can buy the itinerary. This is one. We'll show you Santorini, all the places you go.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that.
And then
leaves out of Florida?
Yes, the next one does. This was one of my old ones.
Oh, okay. This one went down to, did you ever get close? Because they had those terrible hurricanes. Did you see what happened with those? Have you been down to St. Thomas and St. John's? And there was damage.
St. Martin. I had lived in St. Martin before. So
I didn't know you lived there.
Yeah, I played there. So it was horrible what happened down there. Horrific.
Now you saw it after the hurricane?
I saw a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
We stopped going to those places. We had to regroup. Like the last one we just did, this is an older one. The last one we did, we were supposed to come back. We stopped in the Azores on the way.
Oh, is that nice? I wanted to go there.
Yes, lovely.
Uh-huh.
Really lovely. And Malaga is great. I sat behind the King of Spain for Easter Mass. That was amazing.
That was an amazing story.
Yeah, right? Mallorca.
There must have been so much security around the king.
It is. You know, it's... You start looking at it like it's normal after a while.
But Mallorca is amazing. I love Mallorca.
I do too.
And that has that old, old, old cathedral. And it actually has some artwork on the walls, if I remember correctly, from Picasso. No, it's the mustache. Why am I blocking his name?
Salvador Dali.
Yes, Salvador Dali has some artwork on his walls in that old cathedral because they did a section over, right?
Yeah, it's just...
And it's a beautiful
And it's a
cathedral.
Gaudi cathedral.
It
Gaudi,
is a Gaudi.
Gaudi altar. And when I went, it's spectacular because it was the incense. They had the perfect boys choir singing and the real Latin and, you know, the colors. Everything was perfect with the king being there. And it was just such an experience of art.
What was the reason he was there? Was it a special
Easter.
Occasion? Oh, it was Easter.
Yeah.
How lovely. How long ago was that one?
That was last year.
How beautiful.
I know.
And Mallorca is an amazing island.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I have two friends living there now.
Oh, well, next time, give me their address.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful.
I'll give them a shout.
One friend from Germany has a condo down there that goes, you know, whenever it gets too cold. And the other was actually, she lived here in Maui and did tours. It was actually conferences. She did spiritual conferences. And now she's been living in Mallorca for, 15 years and loves it. Yeah. It's
for those who aren't sure where it is, it's an island off of Barcelona.
About an hour
off,
a half-hour flight, I think.
Yeah.
Quick jump from Barcelona over. And it's become pretty popular because more and more cruise ships are going there now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is lovely, but when I did this last cruise, I did around Spain, They didn't stop in Mallorca, but Minorca. Have you been to Minorca?
I don't think I have.
That's an island most people don't go to, and it's gorgeous, and it's very, very high-end, and I love Minorca, and I'd never really know much about it. And it's, you know, it's not close enough where I could just hop off for the day and go to Mallorca, but it's off the island there, in one of the islands there, and it's a lovely place as well. So there's lots of interesting places around there.
Are you a history buff?
A little bit. John's more of a history buff than I am. I'm not that, you know, I just kind of pick up as I go. And if I love a place, I just get involved in some of the major characters that were part of that time. And then I read their biographies. And that's the way I kind of learn about them.
Yes. And Netflix has some interesting, of course, it's watered down Netflix. But you, for example, you're in Florence and you watch the Medicis on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I love that series.
Or the Borgias.
Yes,
you know?
I watched that series.
And
as
then
well.
You're
Absolutely.
Back at the Vatican again. I used to live in Rome when I was 21. So it's like,
I didn't know you live there.
Yeah, I've got cousins there. So
you speak Italian?
And not so much anymore, but I can get by.
That's good.
Get by in French because we all speak French in Canada. But
so how many languages do you speak?
That's it.
You speak
Italian
and French.
French and English, yes.
Well, that's good.
I think English.
And Canadian.
I'll find out when I get to England this year. My first time in England. And that's why I took it. And Ireland and Scotland, which is my ancestry.
So where are you going in England?
Well, we stop at the UK. We stop at Southampton, of course, is the...
And that's at the base?
The port, yes. Yeah. That's the port for London.
Uh-huh.
And then just take a train into London. And then... Northern Scotland, we're going to be going to Glasgow where one of my friends is. And
you're going to go to Edinburgh probably, no?
I don't know if the ship stops. I know it goes by Glasgow. I'll find out when I get there. I haven't looked at the maps yet. And then Northern Scotland is supposed to be really beautiful.
It is supposed to be.
Ireland will be in Dublin, of course.
You've been there before?
Never.
Oh, Dublin's quite amazing.
I love it.
Of course, it's music, you know. That's pubs and music all day long, all night long, all that great music, you know. And it's all pretty much in one section that they have that, although there's pubs everywhere, of course. If you get a chance, go outside Dublin. About an hour outside Dublin is the Royal Thoroughbred... I forget the exact name, but it's where the top horses in the world, it's the stable that belongs to the kingdom, and it's huge, gorgeous stable with all the top horses and race horses and show horses. They're all from there, and the registries of all the thoroughbreds are there, and it's gorgeous grounds, and they have beautiful gardens, gorgeous gardens. And you can look and see the horses and their massive stall. I mean, the royal stalls. I mean, like the most beautiful stalls ever, if you like horses.
Oh, I do love horses.
Yeah, then it's worth seeing.
Wonderful.
It's worth seeing. It's just a short trip outside of Dublin. But Dublin's amazing, and I didn't get to see all that. I thought 2 or 3 days would be enough, and it's not. I mean, there really is a lot. There's a lot to see in Dublin.
Good. Well, I hope so, because I know we're going to be docking there. Or
where else in Ireland?
I'm not really sure. Honestly, I haven't
you
really...
You've got to get over to the West Coast. I hope they
it
get...
It does go down to the West Coast,
Oh,
yeah.
Good, because the West Coast is fabulous. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's wild and beautiful, and I loved the West Coast, and it's worth seeing a lot.
How exciting. The people that come on my ships when I'm in Europe that are Irish are the... funniest.
They're wonderful
people. I had a couple come on that was, they were married. It was their second marriage. They had known each other since they were teenagers, and they'd gone through marriages, and then they remet again after they had both been divorced. And they got married. The whole wedding party, without telling them, decided they were going to join them on the cruise.
Oh, my
gosh. And they ended up being in my piano bar. All of a sudden, I'm playing away, and I'm doing some Irish songs for the wedding couple. And the whole group just showed up en masse and said, "Hi, we're here." And that's the kind of humor, you know, that's, I'm looking forward to it.
You've made a lot of friends on these different cruises, haven't you?
Yes, but I got to say there is a little problem, and that is because you get really close to people in 14 days.
Yeah.
The ones that are attracted to the piano bar rather than the bingo or whatever else is going on. And they get to meet each other, and we really have a camaraderie.
Yeah.
And then they're gone. Yeah. And then you have another group. Mm-hmm. And you get really close to them. And then all of a sudden I'm getting emails from people going, "Oh, my gosh, who was that again?"
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's harsh. And then I come back here and people are saying hi to me and I forget their names. And I'm going, "Oh, my, this is my brain." But I will say one thing. There is no place like Maui.
You usually try to spend Christmas and winter here on, which is very wise, right here on Maui. And then get back into it. Springtime, you start thinking about cruising again?
Well, I missed Christmas this year. I did it last year because...
Where were you in Christmas?
Christmas Day, I think we were in Mexico. We had done the crossing, and we were doing Jamaica and Mexico.
That was after the storms.
That was after the storms. Yeah. I did have friends, though, that were on those ships when the storms hit that were playing the same dueling pianos on different ones. And, yeah, they were stuck in one place. They had to go in port for 7 days.
Wow.
Because...
The whole ship was embargoed for 7 days.
Yeah, oh, they had to. And another one that
Would the people get a refund, or what happens when you get...
I think they were offered... it wasn't their fault. You know, it wasn't the ship's fault or anything. But I think they did offer them money for any next cruises and things like that. I know they always... The ships are very generous.
Yeah.
I've heard that many times from...
How important is the tour directors on a ship? They seem to have quite a bit of...
The cruise director?
Yeah.
They got a lot of pull, and they have to keep everything going. I give them... I don't think they ever sleep.
They really have to be there, and... I mean, I have to tell you a funny story, and I won't mention any ship lines, but on one cruise, the cruise director was from... Actually lives up country in Kula.
Wow.
And he was so fun, and he was so great, and of course he'd be hosting the shows, and this was only one stage, you know. This wasn't a big ship, and was great. And then I went another year, and there was a cruise director... that I swear he had to be a Marine. I mean, when he did his drills, it was like, you know, it was like military. And then he never had that same fun when it was always like organizing people. He felt like he was good. And I really felt a difference in the two different cruise directors of the vibe of what's going on in the ship, right? So they really do have a different amount of influence. And you can kind of get the vibe of a fun cruise director, you know, and their joy of life, you know, depending on their spirit, you know.
Yes, they can make the ship.
Yeah,
totally.
I agree.
They make the ship, and the people that work under them, the cruise staff, which you know is a really nice job for people that don't want to work in housekeeping, or they want to maybe go see the world. They want to go and work on a ship. They don't want to maybe do the spas or those kind of things.
Yeah.
Get in as cruise staff if you got a personality, and you like to play and make games and make people laugh, and especially if you speak more than one language. Go online to the different cruise lines, just a suggestion, and check out cruise staff. And a lot of people will get in and they'll get into housekeeping first just so they get in the ships so they can get their names in because it's a really fun job.
Yeah. And I've always wondered about it. And I mean, some of the people who are the ones they bring in for wait people, I've heard they don't treat them very well and that they get paid very little and basically that they count on the tips to really make a living. And I don't know. I always actually feel very sorry for the people who are serving you at dinners because a lot of times they look like they just are doing it to get enough money to send, a lot of them send their money home to their families.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm a history buff, so I was just reading this quote about how they used to keep, they used to pay the people in the country with just enough corn to keep them from revolting. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that any different than we have now when we live from, you know.
Do you get tips? Is that kind of your gravy?
I mean, people will come up and give me money. There's no doubt I've made some good money. But in the dueling pianos, they do. They just, they put the thing in, there's a tip jar. And one of the things the guys will always say is, this is a request. They'll have the request forms. This is a request, and it'll have a $10 bill attached to it. This one is a suggestion.
Interesting. You know, I've always wondered about that.
Their comments, they know how to do it. So it was interesting working with them because I'd never done dueling on the ships with this one company, which is called Howl at the Moon, and they were fabulous. Just
one thing you wouldn't want to do is lose your passport when you're doing these cruising gigs. Right.
Well, we hand it in.
Oh, you actually do hand your.
Oh, it's handed in, and I've often wondered what happens if you get stuck at a port.
Yeah.
Because you need your passport to fly to the next port.
Right.
You'd have to take trains.
You would be in big trouble.
You'd be in huge
trouble,
especially if there's a place where you know, let's say you're going to Sardinia or something. There's no way you're getting there by train.
If they had your passport, you'd somehow have to have the passport mailed to you or something.
You'd have to have it overnighted.
Because you couldn't take a plane to the next place.
That's right.
So you really don't want to take any chances.
The only time I was with an excursion. And if you're on a ship excursion, they will always wait
for
you.
They'll cover you, yeah, right, right.
But when you consider, you know, even I worked at enough resorts in my life to know about yachts. And they pay per foot. per minute over that they've got the booking time. So when you're looking at a yacht, at a ship that's that big, that has to pay per minute or per every, I don't know what the deal is on it. But and you're half an hour late.
That's
you know?
A lot of money they've
that's,
got.
To, yeah, so they.
I don't think people ever even think about that because I start getting upset when you see the ship holding and then you look down and there's someone running for the ship and you know that. And of course, you have to realize these people may not realize how traffic impacts you. If you're doing your own trip, your own excursion, and you get stuck in traffic, you can totally get miss the ship. You
oh
know?
Yes,
you totally can get behind. I had a story that was in today's paper, I believe. Because I always drive down and I see the, you know, in Kahului Harbor. This last week I saw a lot of ships and I saw the Oceana. But then the Oceana was back. I think, gosh, that's strange. But what happened is someone got sick. They had they were on the way back to San Diego. They were doing a crossing and they had stomach problems. So the Oceana took the cruise ship back close enough where the Coast Guard then picked up the person who got ill and flew them back and they went to Maui Memorial. But, you know, that's, again, that's a huge expense when you have to turn the whole ship around and then get the Coast Guard involved, and then they fly. That's where you really hope the person has trip insurance, right?
Well, you hope they do. I've had people in my piano bar the night before partying with me, the ones that partied all week, and then the next day the wife shows up and says, my husband died today. They, you know, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
They knew he had a heart condition when he came on, and they thanked me. They said he had so much fun here. This was the best way he could have gone.
And it actually happens while they're on the
coast. And then other times I'll pull into a place, and someone will come aboard and say, this is from so-and-so in Ireland. They sent you this necklace because the dad passed away, and he had the best time singing with you in the piano bar. They wanted to give you a gift and invite you anytime you come. You know, wow. You know, it's just like you don't realize. We don't realize how much joy we can bring to people in life. Sometimes we go around with our scowls because so much is going on. If we just break out of that and pass it on, and every once in a while you get reminded, you know. Speaking of joy and music and Maui, my friend Gina Martinelli.
I love Gina Martinelli.
Is doing her record release on.
She's brilliant.
Friday.
And it's going to
be at the Maui Coast.
At the Maui Coast.
At the poolside bar.
Which I wouldn't have thought. The Maui Coast is down there, and it's a lot of pilots stay.
A lot of the airline people stay there.
They stay at the Maui Coast.
But Billy Peterson from the Peterson Brothers of Minnesota, you know, Steve Miller Band and all that, he's playing bass with
great.
Her.
Yeah, didn't you have him play for one of your
He did.
Tracks?
He played on my album when I was doing with Peter last year, and Marty Farah from Glenn Frey's band played on it, so Marty probably be there too. He's not playing Roscoe's, playing drums. And, you know, a lot of musicians
what
will be there.
What time is that going
to
be?
I think it's for 6 to 8. Yeah. She plays her 6 to 9.
She's amazing.
I'm so happy for her. That's
how's
really
it going with your CD? I know you wrote some lovely pieces when you were here last year. I haven't heard about what's happened since then.
I did, and then I thought Barry Flanagan was supposed to play on it and other things, and then I ended up on the tour. So you have to be focused and do
it.
Yeah,
it's hard.
And I'll tell you, this time I came, I had some plans to finish it. But my main reason for coming was to be with my, I have grandchildren. So I've got my granddaughter here, Max's daughter, and Anna's. And then my son, Kappa, moved here. And then I had Adam, who ran Life's a Beach for a long time, ran the music there. He and his wife and two kids came for Easter. So that we had the whole family here, and that became my one priority. So that's, you know, it's funny. You have to kind of.
Well, you have quite a few songs done already.
Oh, yeah. I just have one more to do. And then I've got to
do it.
Oh, I will.
Put it out with what you've got.
But I'm thinking I might even do it on the ship when I'm there. They've got great facilities, you know, and you know the people. And it's almost, I just need to add a few little, you know.
So which cruise do you go on soon? Which one?
It's the Norwegian Jade.
And that's a large ship?
No, it's a medium size. It's a medium size.
Probably
about
3,000 to 4,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where is that going to be going to?
I'm going out of Miami, crossing to Southampton. Then we
then
go
that goes
Ireland, Scotland, and we do that for, I think, a couple of itineraries. Then as it gets warmer, we go out of Hamburg, and Hamburg, then up through the Norwegian fjords.
And that's going to be your...
Iceland, yeah.
For the next 3 months.
And then I'll do that till August 25th.
Which is nice, because you don't get too hot. That's the one thing about Rome in the summer, and some of those places you do with those cruises. The Mediterranean cruises in the summer can get
very hot.
And very crowded in some of the towns. I mean, you go to Venice, and it's like, oh, my God.
Well, I know. You go across the bridges. They had a boat race one time through the town, or you know, and they closed off half the bridges. Oh, my gosh. It was like.
I can't imagine.
You just have to. So I grabbed a train and went to visit cousins instead. Yeah. They live like 40 kilometers
Italy's
away.
Italy's gotten so overcrowded in the summer now for anything. Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to. I love Italy, but I'm not going to ever go in the summer, I don't think, because there's just too many people.
Yeah.
There are too many tourists. And even the people in Barcelona have gotten to the point they don't want tourists.
Well, you're looking at any port city, you know.
That's
and
so true.
The thing with Venice is they're watching because it raises it. They're going to eliminate a lot of the ships being able to go right into port. They're going to port them off. And have to tender in.
Yeah.
And I don't like tendering, you know.
Yeah, no one does. Well, it takes, and a big ship, I can't even imagine how long it would take.
Crazy.
If you have 5,000 people to tender groups in, I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, there's a lot
of tenders. That would be half a day right there tendering, right?
I know. Friends of mine sing on the Princess here, comes in and they tender in Lahaina. And by the time they get off last, and then they have to be back first.
The employees get off.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, it's hard. They don't get to see it. I remember picking one up and taking him around, but he says, oh, no, I've got to get back. So you have to watch. You can't be late.
No, you really can't. You can't be late.
But the benefits are so outweighing that kind of stuff.
They pay you and you get tips, right? Is that the way it works?
Yes. Like I said, when you do single, it's not that many tips. It's not like you live off your tips. Dueling pianos, you can live off your tips.
And then you, basically, you have your food paid for.
Yes.
Because you can eat.
Yeah,
but
anything.
But you can't eat.
Yes.
You have to go.
I can eat anywhere.
You can eat anywhere?
I'm one of the few people that can actually, because I'm considered guest entertainer. And,
oh, so you are allowed to eat.
Yeah, I'm called principal musician as a solo and guest entertainer.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can eat anywhere.
Well, that's
and,
good.
And below deck and above deck. And what goes on below deck is a whole other world, which is...
What is it like below deck?
Oh, my gosh.
On those big cruise lines.
It's so much fun. We have our own bar.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, beer is cheap. I mean, that even cigarettes, people that smoke cigarettes, $2 a pack, dollar beers, you know, and wine for a wonderful bottle they sell upstairs for $60. We get it for $8.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of fun.
Is it really a party always?
It is a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And they have to let loose. And that's when they get to dress up. And then they throw parties for us. They'll have crew parties that are on deck, spectacular. They'll just book the deck, and this is when you see, like, I'm older, so I'm like...
You don't look older.
I don't feel older either, but I do feel experienced. Put it that way. Just like you, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're saying.
You know, mind of a 17-year-old, but the experience...
Wasn't that Jimi Hendrix? But first, are you experienced? You remember that?
Oh, yes.
Have you ever been
experienced? I never thought of that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, so anyway, that's cute because you watch all the cute little girls that are working on there, you know, like there could be my son's friends' ages, and they got their cute little dresses that they go out and buy, and then the boys got to get to dress up to look good for the girls, and because you see them in uniforms all day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they get to be this other thing.
The entertainers, when they entertain, are amazing.
Yeah.
The entertainers I see on board these ships are truly so talented and multi-talented, and they can do so many different, you almost have to be, right?
Yes.
Able to do a lot of different things,
yes,
right?
Yes, the ones on the main
stage. I mean, everything from,
yeah,
like you say, the martini rooms, which is more intimate, to the bigger stages, to, you have to do that to get by. And you have to be a people person. You have to always be on, right? I mean, when you're doing that, you have to always be up, right?
Well, what else is there? Listen, save down for the moments that really count. You know,
the blues bands, right? I guess you could do a blues band.
I'm not a blues. No. I'm not a blues fanatic at all. You know, I'm really into the belief that you stay happy, you attract happiness.
Now, I know you're very, very spiritual, religious, and do you go to? I love when I'm in Europe going to the cathedrals. The cathedrals in Europe are amazing, and I have to say, you got to go to St. Patrick's, of course, Cathedral in Dublin.
Yes.
But a lot of these places have lovely cathedrals. I always try to see the cathedral.
It's the history, the art. It's all one because the religion was such a part of life in those days. And to see how they're built. I mean, my grandfather was a stonemason, built a lot of churches. So I like to see that. I like the history.
Go to Westminster Abbey.
I want to.
Ooh,
yes.
Oh, my gosh. The history there and the people.
I'm going to be studying a lot of the history first. Mm-hmm. And there's my son, Adam, turned me on to an podcast called History on Fire. And I loved it, you know, because it was about Caravaggio, and I'm a Caravaggio. He's an artist from the end of the 1500s. And so he turned me on to this, and now I can get any topic I want before I go there, which
I love that.
Malta, for example. I went to Malta so many times. The nicest people I've ever met in of a country.
The Knights of ever. Malta.
And the Knights of Malta and all, I went there and studied, you know, the Templars all went there. I mean, it was just amazing. And then I went to Rhodes after. So I went to the first Knights of Malta where they before
Rhodes
they came to Knights of
Malta. Rhodes is a beautiful medieval town.
Rhodes.
I mean, on that trip to Greece, I went to Corinthia. And Corinthia, did you go there?
I did that. Oh, and I did amazing? I did the canal.
Oh, yeah. Corinthia is,
There was hardly any people.
And it's so historic. And you feel the energy there. Yeah. It has not been diluted.
No.
The power of the energy in Corinthia is amazing.
Yes.
And it's large.
Yes.
I mean, and good ruins left, you know, it's
not. And not a lot of people, which is what I loved.
Yeah.
I just loved it.
I didn't
we had
do
two
the
groups,
canal.
The canal is
famous.
Next time.
Yeah, yeah.
Next
was that time. Worth going up
oh,
and down?
Oh, yes. Oh,
was?
My gosh, yeah.
Because I didn't take the time.
I do my Let It Be's. Did I send you a Let It Be yet? Well, you know, I've got about 200 Let It Be clips, and I got the first one edited down. And, I do Let It Be's all the way up. Anything. You know, what are we doing?
Let It Be?
Let It Be. Let
oh,
it be.
You sing it.
I picked one song that I thought would be appropriate.
Right,
and so I'll have one clip, maybe at St. Mark's in Venice when I find myself in times of trouble. Then we're in Capri.
Oh.
Mother Mary comes to me, then with my friends singing it in at St. Peter's roof.
How wonderful.
So they're from all over, and they're clipped in. I've got actually the Blue Mosque. I don't know if I should be doing it.
I haven't been there.
The wisdom, let me. And Hagia Sophia. And
I have not been there either. I want to go there.
I don't know if it's.
They're not doing cruises to Turkey anymore.
Not right now, no.
And I never made it there, so it's really hard to get in there on a cruise.
Not right
you
now.
Have to do a private tour, and that's not even recommended. But
I don't know. I mean, what a shame, though.
I know. It's supposed to be so gorgeous.
What a shame. That's a mess, though.
So you do this whole. Then get through in August, and then are you pow for the year and come back here or what?
So far, that's all I booked, but I've got, you know, I'm still doing Soulmates in New York. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did the rewrites with the girl that owns a chorus line and the guy who's the editor of Playbill. We did the rewrites for Broadway. And I've been holding off on it, doing these little three-month things so I could come here and be with my grandchildren, you know, between Vancouver and here. And now that they're getting older, I am waiting to see what's happening, you know, with that. So.
Well, you got to do that. You got to write. You know, I tell you got to write all the time. And, you know, part of what you're writing will be is the experiences that you have, these amazing once-in-a-lifetime experiences, some of the places you go to.
It's a good thing I take pictures, I'll tell you, because
it's hard to
remember.
Keep track
oh, my
of
gosh.
It all.
You know,
it
I
is.
Go, where is that?
People
again?
Think when they're going that they will always remember, but they don't. And you think you're going to remember the names of places, and you don't. And it's so easy if you just keep even. I've tried those online apps where you can do it, and they don't quite do it. It's still sometimes good to have a little journal where you can take pictures and do things and then write about it. I take those little, you know how they give you the brochure when you enter any place?
Yes.
I take those and put those in the journal.
Yes.
And they're wonderful reminders of where have you been and what you've done. You can talk about the weather, what it was like, any favorite people, the places. And those, I haven't done it religiously.
You are my hero, just to remember, because I always say I'm going to do it, and I never do. And all I do is say, thank you, iPhone, for at least having the name
sections,
anymore. Because otherwise, I have to keep my whole itinerary. Let's say 4 years ago, and I'm looking at pictures.
Yeah.
I want to find pictures, say, Caravaggio.
Yeah.
When my son and I were talking, and I went and saw them in Messina, at the in Sicily, and I wanted to show them. And I'm thinking, where the heck are they, you know? Because I never... I'm so busy living life, I don't go back and organize.
It takes so much time to. I have to say, I haven't done those journals a lot. I did one when I went on this trip to China, one of the best trips. It was all over China. And I even had pieces of flowers and wheat from different places and photos and those little brochures. And I mean, that thing to me is priceless. I mean, that journal with all of those handwritten notes, sometimes sketches and people writing things in there. I had people write things. Those are so priceless, and I know they're supposed to be able to have them by apps, but I haven't had that same feeling you can capture in an app as you can with actual items you get from places, right?
Yes.
I like getting rocks from places.
Oh.
I do, and I shouldn't tell people I do, but I do, and then I forget where they came from because I don't have them organized. I've got rocks from the most spectacular power spots in the world.
I bet you do.
And I don't know which is. Some are Tibet, and some are here, and some are from Greece, and some are... from Corinthian. I don't know which rock is which.
Well, I think we have to invent a little rock. Remember those little, what did we call those things we used to put the names on and click it, do it?
We need
do it
that.
But something like that that would fit on a rock.
Wouldn't that would be interesting?
Great invention.
It would be, because then you'd know. And I know a lot of people that do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you think, what is this rock scene? You know.
I don't know. It should be an app on the iPhone. Let's create it.
I would like that as an app on the iPhone. Take a picture of it, and then you just put the name under it, right?
And then at least you have the picture of it. Oh, there we go.
But it doesn't have the same energy as a rock.
No, it's not. But at least you remember when you can look through them. And,
that's true.
You know.
That's true. I should take a
when
picture
you,
of
when
it.
You're,
but
when
I usually feel so guilty, I just stick it in my purse or my pocket, and I don't want anyone to see it. I took it.
Maybe that's as far as it's supposed to go.
So I come back and I have 10 pounds of rocks and it weighing my
Are the ghosts stuff. All following you too, like you do when you take lava from Maui?
I hope not. I always ask permission, and I'll only take it if it calls to me.
Yeah.
And they will sometimes, you know.
Well, you know, people are going to think you're weird when you say that.
Right? No, but a lot of people understand and do the same thing.
I do too.
You do,
absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Look at this.
So
this is
people.
A bottle of Canadian
maple
syrup. It called to me and said, give this to Cindy.
It's worth so much. And I could just smell this and get high. This is lovely. They charge a lot of money for this now.
Well, you know, I've got friends in Canada that make it.
Do you really?
Oh, absolutely. They've got their own things. Where I come from, my area of I have a home north, the north of Toronto, about 250 miles north, and that whole area of Killarney and the Algonquin Park and all that. Yes, they tap the trees.
How exciting!
And they go out and
how
it's
often
a big,
do you get back to Canada?
Oh, I'm going to be back. I'm leaving here, and I'll go back for a couple of weeks before I do the next one.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And it won't be too cold there now.
It'll be just cold enough to watch the seasons change, because spring in Canada is a lovely time. You don't feel it that much here, but you really feel it there.
I bet.
So
you're going to do that before you jump on the cruise?
Yes, I have to do. I've got other work to do. I think I have a house there. I've got to make sure everything's okay.
And in Canada?
Yeah, I have a cat there too.
Not?
Yeah, I just leave it for 3 months. It feeds itself now. All you animal lovers.
Oh, you actually have someone sits.
Yes, one of my best friends from when I was a little child is the main cat rescuer, and my cat was a rescue. And so she just takes it back, and the cat goes to her place for the whole time I'm gone, and then
aren't
she comes
you
home
lucky?
To me. I'm so lucky.
You are really a multi-world traveler with multi-sites of living that you go through. I mean, between here and some of the most beautiful places and on board. And
well, the world's our home. We're just in a different room, Cindy.
It keeps it exciting, doesn't it?
It does, but it's addictive, too. I'm not addicted to anything in life except, you know, I get a place too long, I start scratching.
I'm the same way. I need to take a trip. Yeah. I'm starting to feel that way already.
Oh, well, my next ship.
I totally get that. No, I really totally get that. But I don't like the big ships.
I get you on free as my sister.
Oh, I could do that as your sister. That would be
big
really interesting.
Not.
That would be really, I could never keep up with you, Patricia.
Oh.
Patricia Watson is like a fireball, and any of you who know her know that. I mean, I can't even imagine how you have the energy to do everything that you do in those cruises and then doing your short
I come to Maui to get energy. That's why.
Well, it's a good recharge.
Yeah, it is.
It is a good
it's
recharge.
It's the best.
Place. That, no, I absolutely agree. Yeah. But you know what? You can get here and get stuck, and you never do get stuck because you're always jumping off and going back at it. And so it's, you know, people, you never know when you might see Patricia on your next cruise. You know, you will recognize her voice.
I sound a lot like Cindy.
And if you hear anyone, you know, doing Hawaiian music in a piano bar anywhere, that's probably Patricia.
Yeah.
That's probably Patricia doing it, you know. I know, but around the islands, they have great Hawaiian musicians who play on the one that does the tour of the islands as well. But I'm talking about over in Europe, if they you hear
over
Hawaiian,
in Europe,
Hawaiian music.
Yeah.
And there's a family, and if you see the hula dances going on, you know Patricia's there somewhere.
Oh, just find me. We'll talk story. And then
all my great pictures, too, on Facebook. Yeah. She's very, very, very good on social media as well. So it's been a treat. Thank you so much for coming in. It's been a... I haven't caught up with you. It's the only time I've had to catch up with you. So
well,
it's been
love
wonderful.
You, Cindy. It's so nice to see you.
Love you
I miss
too.
Our talks and our walks.
Aloha.